Hey kids, we're a couple of annoyed grunt boys, and this is the 138th Simpsons podcast.
I love my dog as much as I love you, but you made a
face. They say there's no good TV show ideas anymore.
That's right, we're the podcast that discusses the animated sitcom The Simpsons from season 11 and beyond. Why 11 and beyond, you ask? Well, we felt there are plenty of Simpsons podcasts that discuss the Golden Age, that being seasons 1 through 10. We wanted to see if there are any gems from the later to current seasons. And when there is a new season, we discuss those episodes. When the show isn't new on the air, then we go back and review episodes at random. I don't do this podcast alone. No, I have help. You see, I am Annoyed Grunt Bot 3000, and with me is
Annoyed Grunt Boy Steve.
Hello, Steve.
How's it going, Annoyed Grunt Bot?
It is going acceptable.
Great. What's going on in the news today?
Well, it's that time of the year where we celebrate Jesus and friends.
Very true, Craig. It is the holiday season.
Craig, who is Craig?
Right, sorry. It's Annoyed Grunt Bot 3000.
Dumbass.
My apologies. What are your favorite holiday traditions?
Dancing. I love to get together with my bro-bots and party down.
Dancing is fun, and Party Down is a great TV show. It's coming back for another season.
I do a mean robot.
You are a good robot.
As in, I hit other robots.
So what do you like to do for fun?
I am powering down now. This Alrighty. Is a dumb bit. Fuck off and diet.
Diet? Well, that robot may know.
Here is Craig.
Annoyed grunt boy Craig.
Technology. It keeps on getting better and better.
That's why we're the annoying grunt boys today.
That's right.
All right, Steve, all that typing has made my fingers really tired. I'm thirsty, too.
You know what I like to do when I'm tired? I like to drink. That's why it's time for our favorite segment, the Simpsons Beer Corner.
All right, Steve, what are you going to be drinking and watching The Simpsons with?
All righty, Craig. So, you know, we're talking about motherhood in this episode. And so I have from Binary Brewing Company out of Portland, Oregon, I have the Motherboard Milk Stout. And so it is a very dark, creamy, sweet stout serving up chocolate notes with a hint of coffee and nuts. In tradition of something called Maxon 30, made extra smooth with lactose and huskless dark malts. It was awarded a gold medal and the 2018 Best Sweet Stout by Tastings.com. Mm. And so the can features kind of a robot picture of like a motherboard, but it's got a woman's face like a mother on the board. It comes in at 5.9%, so nothing too crazy. Smells a little chocolatey, a little beery. Oh, that's really good. It's kind of got a tartness, a bitterness to it that I like. It's not hoppy at all, but it's kind of got that chewy chocolate flavor. Really good. Mm. Very smooth. Chewy. It's better than drinking a motherboard, so I recommend it.
Yeah, I guess the graphics don't match the drinks.
Exactly.
That does sound delicious. All right, Steve, yes, you're right. This is about motherhood, especially losing your mother. And to relate this beer to that sentiment, what happens when you start feeling sad, Steve? Water comes out of your eyes. What do we call that?
Crying?
Or what else?
Tears?
A tear, yeah. A tear. And if you saw your mom, would you say you felt lonely without her because she's not in your life? So you would what?
Miss her?
Yeah, you'd miss her. But if you were describing the crying from your eyes and you were doing a really bad Italian impersonation and you were talking to your mother, what would you say about
crying?
Yeah, but what about that tear first and that you miss her?
It's there's a tear falling from my face.
And it happens to be a great dessert that your mom used to make by blowtorching sugar.
It's a creme brulee.
Wait, no, not that. Never mind. A tiramisu. I got that confused. Tiramisu.
Tiramisu.
It's a stout brewed with vanilla and chocolate.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a dessert beer. It even says pour it over vanilla ice cream or pair with cannoli or a slice of tiramisu. So it's a pastry stout is what I'm trying to get to.
Sounds delightful.
It's from Winocky, Wisconsin, Campology Brewing. And this is the best part, Steve. Ready?
Yeah.
8% alcohol by volume.
Woo!
All right, let's give her a whiff. Ooh, definitely smell that chocolatey cocoa powder.
Yum, yum.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's a dessert beer. if I've ever had one. It tastes like just like chocolate syrup. I'm drinking chocolate syrup. You know, we've said it before, like putting dessert beers over like ice cream. This is definitely one I would want to because it's nice and thick, smooth. You won't want to drink more than just one. I mean, yeah, because I feel like my tummy will already start hurting from this. It does contain lactose. So yeah, this is amazing stuff. You can get it. We picked this one up at Trader Joe's.
Very nice. That sounds delightful.
It does taste like a tiramisu. All right. Highly recommend that one, Steve. Get a couple pints there and have a nice dessert beer.
I like it.
All right, Steve. Let's keep drinking this beer and watch The Simpsons. I guess we should talk about the world besides Simpsons, right?
Yeah, Craig. What was the number one movie in the box office this weekend?
Sadly, it wasn't a repeat of Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Anytime there's a Disney movie, animated Disney movie, that's always going to be number one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure this is a Disney movie, right?
Yes, it is.
Encanto. That's right. Disney. Is it streaming on Disney or is it just theaters only?
I think it's just in theaters right now.
Wow. Yeah. Fun cast there. It's got Diane Guerrero is in it. I like her. She's on Doom Patrol.
Yeah. Stephanie Beatriz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah. She's fun too.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those movies that I'll probably watch on Disney Plus. I'm not going out of theaters to see Pixar.
No, I'll watch it eventually and I'll be like, oh, that was really good.
Yeah, it's what's going to happen is I'm going to watch it and I'll be crying at the end of the movie. That's all that's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
There was I saw Ghostbusters. There was a trailer to a Channing Tatum dog movie. And I'm like, why are you making this movie? I just know the dog's going to die at the end. So what's the point of seeing? Like, it's like a heartfelt, like it's a dog that has like a post-traumatic stress syndrome, which is funny because we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, it's about a dog that was a dog in like Afghanistan, like actually an army dog. And so him trying to like Channing Tatum's trying to train him, you know, to not be a dog that's seen horrible things. But the trailer is like I'm crying because I know this dog is going to be dead at the end of the movie.
Yeah. And it's just going to be a bummer.
I'm not going to see it.
Me neither.
Sorry that I think the movie's actually literally called Dog. sorry, we were talking about Dog over Encanto. All right, Steve. While were we Encantoing the theaters, what were we listening to our earbuds?
Well, you know, Craig, for the past several weeks, we've had this woman sing this really sad song about her failed relationship, and it's been kind of a bummer. So it's, you know, I have no problem with Adele, but, you know, it's time for something different. Time to, like, these sad white women, they just need to stop. So I'm glad to see that we have something else. So this week we have, All Too Well by Taylor Swift.
And to be fair, this song is also like 10 years old, but it's her re-release. She's been re-releasing her albums because so she get more money.
That's right.
Well, it's because of her contract. Original one was pretty much was garbage. So she needed to own her music and that's good right. On her. So this is also the 10-minute version. So I figure let's just listen to the 10-minute version. How about that?
Yeah, that's good. We got nothing else better to do.
Let's just go to minute 209.
All right. Alrighty.
I can't play the whole song because I'll get in trouble.
Right. You'll get DCMA'd. But
even though Taylor and I are friends, just it's YouTube, you know, it's all about YouTube.
Yeah. So forgive my ignorance, but how does that song differ from the OG version? Is it like vastly different or?
Well, the 10-minute version, actually, there's, you know, new lyrics, but she's just re-recording all of her music. So it's just, you know, it's just her singing her old songs again. There's nothing like not really remixing or anything. It just has its sound because she doesn't own the rights to her original album. So that's why she's re-recording everything.
It's weird that she has to do that, but good on her for taking control of her artwork.
Yeah. But still on the Annoyed Grunt Boys top 100 is still Kid Rock, Don't Tell Me How to Live.
That's right. I finally watched the video for that.
Steve directed it.
Yeah. Great to work with Mr. Rock.
You got the wrong Rock. I was trying to give you a Chris.
Yeah.
Sorry. Or Dwayne.
I would have taken either one of them.
Yeah. Chris Rock, Dwayne Johnson. All right, Steve. What are we watching? What's the episode called?
We're watching Mothers and Other Strangers, in which teenage Homer and Grandpa, not a teenager, take a road trip to look for their mother and wife, respectively.
All right, Steve. Let's finish drinking or continue drinking our beers.
Mm-hmm.
Continue listening to Taylor Swift's All Too Well, and then come back and discuss.
Sounds great. We'll be right back.
Check the pulse and come back swearing it's the- the same after 3 months in the grave.
And we're back. Today we're talking about Mothers and Other Strangers, the ninth episode of the 33rd season. It originally aired on November 28th, 2021. It is episode 715 in the show's run. Your nerd code is UABFO2. It was written by Al Jean, directed by Rob Oliver, and your showrunner is Al Jean.
All right, Al Jean. I guess this was his 25th episode he wrote for The Simpsons. Wow. Yeah, he said that on Twitter. Ever heard of it?
Twitter? I have.
Yeah, I'm the new CEO. I said, You need to step down. The Annoy Grunt Boys are taking over.
That's right. Jack, you're off.
Yeah. Anyone who's ever been banned from Twitter, we've taken those bans off. So anyone out there, we'll put your blue check mark back and we'll give you free reign.
Wow. Yeah, that seems like a great idea. Nothing bad can come of that, especially with any anniversaries coming up maybe in like a month or so. Like around the 6th, I guess.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's a national holiday.
Yeah. Freedom Day.
All right. Al Jean, we talked enough about you.
Yeah. And you've talked enough on audio commentaries. So.
And we love you for it. Yeah.
Yes. You're quite enjoyable.
Well, this is the ninth episode of the season, 33. Mm-hmm. And it starts off, we actually have, well, not like, the classic like new cloud gag.
Mm-hmm.
It's Sherry Bobbins there floating. She sucked into the Simpsons O.
Yeah. But is also used in the Much a Poo About Something episode. Yes. But sadly, Craig, once again, we are without Chop Gag.
You know what's funny is I was watching a Family Guy episode. It might have been the new one from last week. And when we record this podcast, I was talking about how, we haven't seen Chalkboard Gag in a long time. And then after we were done recording, I think I went and watched Family Guy and they did a Chalkboard joke in the episode. Like Stewie says something about, like Stewie was in detention and he was like, everyone's so weird here. There's even like that, there's some fourth grade kid over there that's always writing on the chalkboard. And it was Bart writing on the chalkboard. I forgot what it said, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
And I thought that, so Family Guy has done more couch gags this season than The Simpsons has.
Jeez. Yeah. What's going on in this world?
What's next? Peter and Lois running into the couch and the other kids, whatever their names are.
Stuart and Groffin.
Yeah, that Seth Green and Mila Kunis. They have names.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right. But we do have a couch gag, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a wonky, weird one where they contort their bodies to make the couch. We haven't seen that before. That's kind of clever.
Yeah.
But it's a weird like reversal too, because then they pop out.
And then they want to get away.
Yeah. So it's like, which is weird because then it just like instantly cuts right to the show and it begins. So it's almost like, you know, how it starts with Bart here on the couch, like every episode of The Simpsons does. But it made me feel like that was actually something he was flipping through because he's just flipping through the stations.
Yeah, that's interesting.
At first, I'm like, is this part of the couch gag still?
Maybe every episode is just part of one couch gag from way back in the day.
Because, I mean, the way it transitions real quick, it is Bart just flipping through the stations. You can't find anything fun because everything's boring. Like, even the Hindenburg disaster is boring to him.
Yep. And then, like, an old-timey cartoon of a cow and playing a violin while a turtle and an ostrich dance, much like Homer's music that he hears in his head.
Yeah, because you can even see there, have a pause, it is Homer's head.
Yeah.
From, I don't know, from an old episode.
That's right.
Then he's further clicking on. There's a scene from Aliens, or maybe Alien.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because, you know, Disney owns Aliens now. They could put that on there.
That's true. She's a Disney princess.
Yeah. Actually, she's a queen, Steve. Sure. Alien.
That's true, yeah. Then we have the movie Cliffhanger, which Bart has seen.
So why were they showing, like, real stuff and then animating Cliffhanger?
Yeah, I don't know.
I remember when I was a kid, I saw the movie once, Cliffhanger, like when it came out on VHS. So I must have been 10, maybe. I don't know. When did that movie come out?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Probably 93, 94.
93, yeah. So I was 11. I just remember really enjoying that movie.
Were you disappointed? As a kid. Were you disappointed at the end when it had a complete ending?
Yeah. Well, I was also disappointed that it wasn't John Ratzenberger hang gliding through the entire movie. I don't know. No, wait. John Ratzenberger in an airport hangar? Nah. I want to go back and watch that movie again. I think it's because John Lithgow was the bad guy, and I only really remember him as the dad from Harry and the Hendersons.
Right.
As a kid, of course.
That makes sense. What is the conflict in the movie?
I don't remember. I just remember it's Sylvester Stallone, and he's like mountain climbing. And I'm not going to look up the the plot of it. I just wanted to know what the year it was, but I would assume it's like maybe there's like treasure on the mountain and John Lithgow's wanting it, and John Cliffhanger, which I'm assuming that's what Sylvester Stallone's name in the movie is, John Cliffhanger. I don't know.
Yep.
And maybe they have to go and steal it.
You're okay. So I looked up the plot and you're not okay. You're not wrong.
Is this an episode of Craig Hasn't Seen?
I think so, but also Steve hasn't seen. Botched midair heist results in suitcases full of cash being searched for by various groups throughout the Rocky Mountains.
So Stallone is part of trying to find the...
Yeah, so basically there was an airplane heist and it went bad, so now they're climbing the mountains.
All right, you know what? How long is this movie? If it's 113 minutes, I can sit through that.
Yeah, that's not bad.
No. You know, it's got to be streaming somewhere, right?
I would say that.
Probably like on Tubi or something. As like commercials.
Hey, it's on Netflix.
What?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever watched anything on Netflix that wasn't their own programming.
Yeah, they have movies now.
Oh, wow.
Or if you want, it's on Pluto TV, too. So you can just wait, put Steve, Pluto on for the next 48 hours and hope that...
All right,
that...
Steve, I have Pluto on the TV right now. Let's see if it's playing right. I'm assuming it's under movies. No, it's Season of Greetings. Okay, Pluto TV.
Because if it is playing, we should probably like stop what we're doing right now. And just...
So far, no, I see GoldenEye, Django Unchained. So far, good movies. Traitor, it'll probably be on this Pluto Action, so I don't see it.
Yeah.
Devil in a Blue Dress is on. But under comedy, Clifford is on. Now, is that the new one, or is that Clifford from Martin Short? That's the Martin Short Clifford.
Ah, the small red child, not the big red dog.
Yeah. Let's see here. If I go fast forward to the Action Channel, maybe they'll show me what's on.
Clifford does sound like Cliffhanger.
Clerks 2 is on afterwards.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Hell or High Water. That's another movie I've been wanting to watch, and it's been a few years. I heard it's supposed to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not on right now.
All right. I like that this third-rate podcast has become a third-rate TV guide channel for a third-rate streaming channel.
All right, let me tell you what's on tomorrow at 5:40 p.m.
Oh.
Okay. This is really funny how we just transitioned from Bart's watching TV. Now all of a sudden we're just watching TV in the middle of this episode. I'm not saying I'm bored by this episode.
No.
This is how we always start. This is how the entire podcast starts off. We don't get to the episode until like 30 minutes in.
Yep.
And then after we discuss the podcast.
Yep. And then we rush through the rest of it.
Yeah. Let's just rush through this part then.
Okay. So finally Bart's watching himself skateboard naked, and he's lived that in the Simpsons movie.
Now, was that from the movie, or did they have to refilm that?
I'm guessing they just used found footage.
Did you try to pause it to see if they actually left Wang in at one frame?
Yeah.
No, they cut it off. But finally, Bart finds a channel that interests him, and his old pal, the old dog of the house, Santa's little helper there. It's called Muttflix. It's a premium TV channel made specifically for dogs. It's also based on a real channel, Dog TV, which features programs to both stimulate and relax dogs. I believe they also have a cat one, too, don't they?
I think so, yeah.
Is that part of my Xfinity cable package?
Probably.
Here we are talking about TV.
Some shows on this include The Fire, which is for mature audiences, over 3 years old, should be 21 in dog years, and features a doggy couple looking lustfully at one each other while sitting in front of the fireplace. And that show seems to make Santa's little helper a little horny. He likes poodles.
Yeah. So it's paused on the Muttflix, which is kind of funny because we just had the Simflix. So is now this cable channel all of a sudden a streaming channel? Is that how? That's not how cable works, does it? No.
So they have the one streaming service, Simflix, for The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And then they have Muttflix for dogs. And I assume they have Moflix for Mo, Hibflix for the Hibberts.
What about Skinner, Steve? What about Skinner?
They're Seymour Flix.
Okay. That's actually a good... I wanted to hear you say Skin Flix.
I know.
But Seymour Flix also sounds like a porn stream service.
Exactly.
But some of the shows that they have paused there, we have A Bone.
Another Dog's Butt.
Dead Bug.
A Hand Mutt's Tail.
This one's my favorite. Dogs and Cars While Comedians Get Coffee.
Yeah.
There's so, one that's that Santa's obscured, little helper's obscured. So we'll say it's another dog pun. Like They had parodied Fargo, so it would be Fido.
No, that's better. I was gonna say Barco, but Fido makes more sense.
What about, I thought you were about to do a Bosch, that show. That sounds like a dog.
It does sound like a dog. It's my dog, Bosch.
Probably missing some major ones. Let's see here. What's popular? My crazy ex-pet. In reference to this guest star of the show.
Oh, that makes sense.
Anyways, sorry.
Yeah. So as Lisa explains, the channel shows short scenes from a canine point of view. It is to a dog's eye what opening a can of dog food is for their ears. Bart and Santa's Little Helper continue to be fascinated by the show as they watch a squirrel. Santa's Little Helper continues to watch as they air the iconic spaghetti scene from Lady and the Tramp, and then a similar scene of two street dogs, who I presume are both male, sharing spaghetti and then fighting over it, one of them eating the other one's head. Next, it's hand-waving keys, a mail carrier saying that he's delivering the mail while a Dalmatian bites his little butt, and then we have a POV angle of a dog just drinking from a toilet. We then see Fox News, which is just a bunch of actual foxes bickering at each other, which I thought was a lot of fun.
I think this joke is great because Fox News is easy to, you know, make pun or joke of because of political reasons. But yeah, this one's just sweet and wholesome.
It's a literal joke of just Fox News.
Also, when that point of view drinking from the toilet, like that toilet looks a little dirty. Can the owners clean that?
Well, I'm going to say that it's not dirty. It's just that dogs have a hard time seeing color.
Okay.
So it's more gray scale than, or maybe they just like dirty water because they're dogs and dogs are kind of gross.
But no offense to dog people out there.
No, they're great.
Dog face people as well.
Yeah.
So the family,
you say dog face people.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like half human, half dogs.
Right.
They exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. The dog men. They hang out in the forests. They steal our newspapers and
our bones. They're bad boys.
Yeah, very bad boys. They're really good at staying and rolling over though.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's continue here and watch some Muttflix with the Simpsons here. And we have a surprise guest star. We've been waiting for the return of Seabiscuit, Santa's Little Helper's mother. They said that that she'd come back. I remember we watched that episode. Was it last season or the season before?
Season before. It was like, it originally aired in May of 2020.
So it's been a year we haven't had Seabiscuit. Well, I'm glad it's canon that they still have another dog.
Yeah, I just... How did Santa's Little Helper communicate to Bart or the phone that he wanted to have his mom over? Didn't he like find a picture of her and like show it to Bart because he knew it was Mother's Day?
Santa's Little Helper's pretty smart.
That's true.
Also, I forgot that because it has been like over a year or 2 years now that it was his mother. And when I was watching this episode originally, I got up to go get a drink and it was right when Santa's Little Helper was watching the sexy dog scene. And I came back into the living room and Santa's Little Helper's mom was there. And I'm like, oh, he brought another dog to bang.
That's what I thought too, actually.
So then after we watched, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. It's his mom. But she's also looking at Santa's Little Helper lustfully, I think.
Yeah. And, you know,
they look pretty much the same age.
Yeah. And it was weird, you know, because they were both watching that video of the dogs who were about to get it on. So it's like when you're like with your parents and a sex scene comes on. But yeah, I thought they were actually going to bone.
I mean, I don't know what the incest world is like with dogs.
I'm sure there's some videos on Muttflix that explore that.
All right. Well, Steve, let's just check in what's going on with the family. We've talked enough. Let's see what Homer has to say about this Mother's Day.
All right.
Mother's Day.
Aw, it's so sweet. Did you say it's Mother's Day?
Oh, Mom, we haven't forgotten you. Guess what I've got? A mug I made at school!
Oh, great. Thanks.
And Mom, although I believe Mother's Day is a BS holiday, unlike true holidays like my half birthday or May the 4th be with you, I too made you a mug.
Oh, thank you for trying.
Well, Bart's a Star Wars nerd, apparently.
I know.
Or maybe Disney had him say that in his contract.
Yeah, he didn't want to. He's more of a Star Trek guy, but...
I like how his half-birthday is considered an important holiday.
But not Mother's Day.
Yeah. Did you ever have to make a mug for your mom?
I'm pretty sure I made her an ashtray.
Yeah.
Which she probably really appreciated, like genuinely, because
yeah,
she smoked a lot.
I think I probably made an ashtray too, which my parents didn't smoke either. So, but I do remember mugs, not cookie cutters, but kind of like a cookie press.
Yeah. I remember making Christmas ornaments.
Yeah.
Like with beads and shit.
I'm just trying to think of like the clay stuff that you always did.
Yeah. Maybe I did make a mug. I think I did, yeah. And it was bad.
Oh, yeah. They always are. Just they look like Bart's. And even Lisa's, which is funny because she's got like, how many mugs are there? 34, Steve. Did you count that?
Yeah, she made 34, which got me thinking. If she made one for Mother's Day, Marge's birthday, and for Christmas from the time that she started school, presumably 3 years ago, because she's in second grade, that's only 9 mugs. So that means that there's 25 mugs that she just made out of the blue and gave to her mom.
And, you know, as much as Lisa is a perfectionist, those mugs are not that great.
No.
It's almost like an 8-year-old girl did them.
I know. Way to underachieve. And you're not even proud of it.
But I also like how the doors are the drawers are labeled with Lisa's mom mugs and then Bart's, like, so the kids can look and see like the mom doesn't use them.
Yeah. Also, who puts mugs in drawers?
That is kind of weird.
You've got a whole cabinet system up top.
Yeah. Well, maybe Marge puts the silverware in the cabinets up top.
So wacky, that Marge. Must be that water that makes her crazy. Yeah. Some of Bart's mug attempts also are fun because he gave her a ball of tape, a bag of an open clay, a coaster from Moe's, a crusty doll head, a troll doll. And then there's one in the upper left corner that's just a sculpture of somebody's head with their tongue sticking out. And that one just seems as good as any of Lisa's dumb mugs. So I think Bart's pretty talented.
But back to like the labels again, it's funny because hers is labeled like Lisa's mugs, but then it's like Bart's ... mugs?
Mugs?
What's the weird head one?
That's the one that I'm impressed by. Like, I don't know what it is, but it looks like a good sculpture. Like,
yeah.
It looks like a Muppet almost.
Huh. Let's just get it recreated and sell it, Steve.
Alrighty. My merch for the week.
Yeah. So Marge shuts that Bart drawer and declares that nothing in the world beats a baby's kiss. Yeah. And then Maggie comes in, drops her milk bottle as though it was a microphone, right? And it pisses off the kids there. So Maggie continues to go to her brother and sister, and Lisa wonders, how do you tell someone who doesn't talk to shut up?
So Marge goes on to tell her children that she loves all of her gifts and then realizes Homer hasn't gotten her anything. And again, it's Mother's Day, not Wife's Day, but he makes a fair case.
Homer? This is the one holiday that means something to me.
Well, I was going to make you breakfast in bed, but you know the food always comes out bad.
Oh, so bad.
And we always leave a mess in the kitchen, which is worse than making no breakfast at all.
Basically, we're idiots.
Where is this going?
So I thought, why not get you a nice picture frame instead? Mm-hmm. It'll last longer than a breakfast, and I carefully chose a picture of all the kids and poor Vu.
Oh, that is nice.
What is it, Dad? What's wrong?
It's just...
Homer, it's your mother. This image is all you've got left of me, and it's starting to get a little fuzzier each year.
Mom, if only I could kiss your fuzzy face.
So the beginning of that clip when he was going to make breakfast, and Bart saying that it was terrible and gross. You know what the breakfast was? Marge's Sundays. Yeah, Homer tries to recreate Marge's Sundays.
Oh, yeah. That's your problem. She doesn't know how to make a sundae.
Yeah, they're gross.
So gross. I was just going to say, I like the effect of the picture of Marge's or Homer's mom getting fuzzier, like TV static. I thought that was a nice visual effect.
Here's another thing that I thought, too, because I was looking down at my phone when he was crying because he had the picture, you know, of the kids. And then he grabbed the frame and it faded into, you know, him and his mom. And for a second, I thought, oh, is that one of those digital cameras where the picture, I think that's why it went fuzzy because it was tears. But no, it's just him with repressed memories looking at something else.
So you don't need fancy technology these days. You just need trauma.
Yeah. Also, I respect that. And they've done it, I think, this season as well. I'm trying to think what episode it was. But the obvious joke, and they've done it before, where Homer forgets holidays or anniversaries, that sort of thing. Like, and Marge is kind of expecting that, like, oh, Homer forgot it's Mother's Day. But no, you know, he's on top of the game.
Yeah.
He knows what it is. He's He's been responsible lately in this season.
It's true. And it's a valid that he's trying his best to be strong for his family, but he's also traumatized.
Yeah.
So he's like putting on a brave face kind of.
Yeah. I'm glad that they've kind of, in some instances, Homer's not as much of a buffoon as he has been for the past like 20 years.
Yeah, it's true.
They're getting a little bit more humanity back into him.
Yeah, he's got some depth.
Yeah.
So as Homer tries to recall the photo of his mother and him on a log ride, and again, obviously, we shouldn't need to say this, but the mother's played by Glenn Close, a poor man's Meryl Streep, if you will, as Craig always says.
I say that every day.
That's right. So Santa's little helper licks Homer's face. It's the same cold nose, but it's just not quite the same. Homer mopes, and Lisa figures out that he's reliving the greatest trauma of his life, losing his mother. Marge comforts him by saying that nothing could replace his mother, and that he still has a father. And this, of course, causes Homer to cry even harder. Homer tries to use facts to calm her father down, but this problem may require professional help.
Let it out, Dad. Studies show losing a parent is the most traumatic thing that can happen to a child.
What a sad thing to say.
When Homer croaks, we're going to have to spring for an XXL elephant coffin.
Not funny, Bart.
Hey, the cat liked it.
Dad, maybe you should get some therapy.
I just don't know if we can afford more mental health.
Don't worry, Mom. Thanks to the App Store, there's a solution to everything. Nuts! The therapy app.
Woohoo! I can confront my grief on the John.
Welcome to Nuts, the app that can process your loss, talk you down from highs, pick you up from lows, maintain your mediums, and find CBD gummies in the shape of your version of God.
Steve, who's your version of God there?
Kind of got to go with the question mark, I think.
I'll go with Mr. Met.
Oh, yeah. If they had Gritty, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's true. When Bart makes the elephant coffin joke,
uh-huh.
I know Matt Groening wouldn't approve of the dogs or the animals understanding that human joke. But when Bart's like, the cat liked it, the cat just shakes her head.
When Homer said, what a sad thing to say, just the way that Dan read that, I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
Also, the hospital bills show that Homer, Marge, and the kids, and even Snowbell too, they're all in therapy, but not Santa's little helper. They're even been in therapy for spending too much money on therapy. And Marge is diagnosed with overwhelming anxiety, and the doctor recommended to cure that, her getting a divorce. So
it's a pretty dark joke.
Yeah.
So Steve, you paused there and you got some other apps we can tell you about. We have Crapped Out, which I'm going to assume is a parody of Tapped Out.
Yep. We also have Venmo, which is your app you use to send Mo some money.
I mean, that seems useful for, you know, if you're drunk at the bar and you're stumbling home and you forget to pay.
Yeah, it's actually a really good app.
Yeah.
We also have Oogle, the Waze app or whatever they call it.
Tuber.
We have Facebook,
and
probably called Meta now.
Yeah. All right. Well, some of the things that the Nuts app covers is we got schizophrenia.
We've got trichotillomania, which is a compulsive hair pulling.
I think I might have that.
I used to.
Now it's all gone.
Yeah.
you cured that disease.
Again, if you suffer from these, we're not making fun.
Oh, yeah. No. I probably literally do. Borderline personality disorder, which I'm pretty sure we have that.
Yep. Depression, which, hey, no doubt about it.
Agoraphobia. Yeah.
Yep. Mad About You.
Seasons 2 through 6, but yeah. That's the only times I like Mad About You.
It is one of my favorite Star Trek series. I assume so because the theme song is about stepping into the final frontier.
Oh, okay. I was trying to think where that joke was going.
To the final frontier.
Wasn't Hank Azaria also on that show?
It's true. He was, yeah.
Simpsons. You know, I don't really think I don't think I've ever seen a full episode of Mad About You. I don't think it was.
Really?
I mean, because it was what? In between Friends and Seinfeld? Or
I would say
was
that
it, like, it was it, or was it on the 9:30?
it may have been 9:30 and it may not even for a long time. It might have been a Tuesday night show.
Yeah.
Trying to be the anchor show, like trying to be the Tuesday night version of Seinfeld.
Okay. So if we think about it, the golden age of like Thursday night was, so 8 o'clock was Friends.
Mm-hmm.
Then 8:30 was always a rotating, like usually it was like Single Guy or
that Caroline one always and, sticks out of my head, but it was probably only on for two seasons.
With Caroline in the City, maybe.
Yeah.
But then 9 o'clock would have been a sign. Was it Seinfeld then Frasier? Or was it Frasier then Seinfeld?
Seinfeld was always on at nine. I feel.
And then Frasier 9:30.
Yeah. But I feel like there was a long time when maybe Mad About You and Frasier shared a night.
Was it? Maybe they were two. No, because Frasier was always on Thursday because Cheers was always on Thursday.
Wings was in there. Kids too, and Vodka.
Yow.
Let's say Must See TV lineup 1994. That would have been like, wait, was that when? All right, let's go to like 95 here. So yeah, Friends. And then sometimes it was, oh, okay. So we're doing like the 95-96 season. It would have been Friends. And then sometimes it was either Single Guy or Boston Common. Then Seinfeld, then Caroline in the City. So I think, yeah, Frasier, I think, was probably actually on.
So I'm looking at the Tuesday. 93. Your 93 must-see TV in the winter was Mad About You, Wings, Seinfeld, Frasier.
That's a good lineup there. I would have probably just started with Wings and then gone from there because I just wasn't a Mad About You guy.
I think it might be better than you remember it.
Didn't they do a reboot like recently?
Yeah, a couple years ago. I didn't watch that though.
Yeah. So yeah, Frasier was only on the 93-94 season. Yeah, so they must have moved it then to
Tuesday or Wednesday night. Yeah.
Well, if you look at the 98 season, Frasier was on at 9 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah.
They moved it. Back at that time too, it wasn't like you could move Frasier because it was still like a high rated show. So fans of Frasier would find it.
I think, yeah, at a certain point, they just realized Friends has to be on at 8, Seinfeld at 9, and anything else can go anywhere.
And I think, yeah, the problem would be is putting Frasier with Seinfeld and Friends that night, you don't have ratings for other nights.
Right. So you want to move your Frasier to Tuesday night to help pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when Seinfeld ended, then Frasier took over. But then you had a good, good season, like the 99 season. You had Friends, Will and Grace, Frasier, Veronica's Closet. Everyone loves Veronica's Closet, especially now.
With that wonderful person, Christy Alley, and all of her sanity.
Yeah. Wow, we're getting, that's a good lineup right there. 2006, My Name Is Earl, The Office, Scrubs, 30 Rock.
Ooh, yeah.
Then they moved 30 Rock to 9 and put Andy Barker, PI, with Andy Richter.
That's also a very good show.
Yeah. Lasted for like 2 episodes. Not as good as Andy Richter Controls Our Universe, though.
No, but better than Quintuplets,
which is Quintuplets, the longest one.
Which was god-awful.
Oh, yeah, we're still on that app there, Steve. There's another disorder. Let's see here. Listomania? Fever was the intense fan frenzy directed toward Hungarian composer Franz Liszt during his performances.
It's like Beatlemania before Beatles.
And you know what? If you have that disorder now, fuck you. We don't care.
No. But if you do have an erection lasting more than 4 hours, consult a doctor or, leave the music studio.
Yeah.
We also have separation anxiety.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah.
Quadrophenia
and fear of a black hat, but in today's political climate, it's more like fear of a red hat.
I think I've said it before. I have a Toronto Blue Jays hat that's all red with just the maple leaf on the front and then the Blue Jay logo in the back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even wear that hat anymore because of that.
Yeah,
which is funny because it's not even it's a Canadian baseball team,
right?
Joining the Canadian flag maple leaf. All right, well. Homer finally picks one of the disorders there, and he picks anxiety. It's caused by the loss of his mother when he was 9 years old. We knew that. We saw Mother Simpson.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
Yeah. Also, Homer is not a robot, no matter how much he wishes he was, because he's got to, confirm he's not a robot. And then a sea of, like, matrix-like floating numbers. We see, for some reason, groundskeeper really bathing naked. I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
And then we jump into virtual Nuts headquarters, where the counselors are inspired to ABCing, Steve, which is always be consoling. Not always be closing. One of the therapists is handling out cases to the rest of the Nuts staff. Nuts also sounds like a really crappy sports bar.
It does. Welcome to Nuts. Do you want some jalapeno fingers?
Yeah. But it's like they have TVs on every wall, but all they show is Sports Center and like video or like poker.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the money. Yeah, because they don't have the money to actually buy like the NFL Network or any of the big sport networks.
Right. So we're watching a cornhole championships. Yeah.
By the way, that was on the other day, and I had to stop and watch it for a little bit because I was like, "Why is this a thing?" And they have uniforms and everything.
Oh boy.
It's like, no, you need to have professional cornhole. You need to have a beer in one hand and then the bag in the other.
Yeah, that's I can't wait for the Vince Vaughn comedy cornholes.
With Luke Wilson.
That's right.
Not Owen. Owen's better than that.
Exactly. Wow.
And Vince Vaughn was like, hey, Larry David, you want to be in this movie? And Larry's like, fuck you.
Fuck you. No.
I'm still confused why after Bob Einstein died as Funkhauser, they need a new Funkhauser. And why is it Vince Vaughn?
It's weird.
Because he doesn't have like, I mean, no, it could be Bob Einstein, but Funkhauser was also kind of like a quirky character.
Yeah.
Oh, and like a newer episode, like Vince Vaughn's Funkhauser character is dating Kaley Cuoco. You know, he was probably like, I'll make sure I get, you know, a hot lady.
Yeah.
That's also one of the weird things about like Curb these days is when they have like a big name like Kaley Cuoco and she plays not Kaley Cuoco.
I know, it's confusing.
And then you see like Seth Rogen's on it, but he is Seth Rogen. But also, I mean, there's like certain celebrities like...
Patton Oswalt a couple weeks ago wasn't playing Patton Oswalt. He's playing a guy.
And he could have been playing Patton.
Right.
His character wasn't. Yeah. I just feel like most celebrities on the show should just be themselves.
Yeah. I think it's more fun. Like, that's why I like the Ted Danson dynamic.
Right. But if you have like, you know, not as well-known comedians or not comedians, but like actors, then they could play. But people like I said, like a Kaley Cuoco or even a Vince Vaughn, they're pretty big names.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how to segue to Curbcast, but it did.
We're talking a lot of TVs in this episode.
Hey, I had 4 days off, Steve, from work, so I just did a lot of TV watching.
Nice.
Had to catch up. It's like work gets in the way of TV, you know?
There's so much TV these days.
I should just take a year sabbatical and be like, oh, you must have found yourself, huh? You took a sabbatical. Like, no, I just sat and watched TV. I had to catch up, man. I finally saw Tiger King and Ozark. And
watched Chernobyl.
I still haven't watched The Wire. I'll get to it.
Can't believe you haven't seen The Wire.
So at the Nuts headquarters, the people hesitate to take Homer as a client, but the prospect of his premium disorder entices a counselor. Other potential patients include a jumper, a bedwetter. That must be Sarah Silverman.
That's right.
A woman who has fallen out with a cat, and then a guy who's still pretty messed up because the Patriots traded Brady. That must have been Mike Mitchell.
I assume so.
As Homer waits to connect, we learn that the therapist makes their patients cry. And if they make them cry, they get to go take a turn in the cash tornado.
Whee!
Yeah, I always wanted to do one of those. It'd be fun.
I know. It always seemed like a good time.
Also kind of afraid of paper cuts, though.
Yeah. And also just, I don't know what my strategy would be for the cash tornado, but anytime I see somebody in a cash tornado, they seem to be doing it wrong.
Well, aren't you supposed to like lift your shirt up? So
that's I think the move.
But maybe you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
So that way, if you lift your shirt up, all the money just goes under. And then when it stops, you just tuck your shirt in.
That's true. Yeah. I think I would just get naked, roll around in corn syrup. And then just spin. And it'd be like a cotton candy machine, but I'd just be covered in cash.
So your typical Friday night.
Exactly. Yeah. But instead of, you know, lonely old men giving me money, it's from the cash tornado. Anyway.
Sadly, it's all funny money from like a strip club. It's not actually real money.
And Sacagawea quarters.
Ouch.
Yeah. Dollars. Homer enters his date of loss as 30 years ago. And we flashback to a younger Abe finding a note from Mona written in lipstick on the liquor cabinet. As he opens the cabinet up, the note continues on various liquor bottles.
I wrote this on the liquor cabinet so you would see it. I am wanted by the FBI and leaving forever. Abe, put down the booze and take care of Homer. Go to him. Be gentle and sensitive. Strong and absolute vodka. Now you're just reading the label.
When's Mommy coming back?
She's not.
Why not?
She's dead. That ought to hold him.
Abe's still just reading the liquor bottles. Mm-hmm. That's good. And she starts talking about Absolute Vodka. Or she should probably say Absolute Krusty. Oh, no, this would have been before Krusty. Never mind.
That's true.
But just love Grandpa's like, she's dead.
Yeah.
He's wearing a shirt that says Mama's Boy. Someone has a shirt idea later.
Maybe.
Anyway, so you see Homer and that Mama's Boy shirt run off crying. And then we cut back to present day, and the therapist relates how tough that must have been to Homer. And he has just the thing to help. All of a sudden, the pop-up for pay another 99 cents comes up. And Homer's told to think back to when he first realized he didn't know the truth about his mother.
I got
to
say, 99 cents, pretty low for these therapy apps, because I did some research into another mental health application for your telephone.
Not
and it's considerably more than 99 cents.
Yeah, if they had a better price, maybe I would use it.
Yeah, then they
that would help me.
Exactly. With offer code HEB. So Homer was 16 and he had just learned to drive. Teenage Homer slams into the mailbox and driving instructor Hans Molman grabs his driver's ed sign and runs off, ready to teach again tomorrow. Homer is then confronted by a familiar, if perhaps thinner, face.
Well, well, well. First time driver, eh? Well, this is my first case and I'm doing this by the book, which, I left back at the station, so, I better go get it. Donuts? What are those? I better investigate.
So, he's never had a donut?
He doesn't know what one is.
I know we'll probably talk about later when we wrap up the episode to, like, kind of, like, connect Mother Simpson with this episode. Mm-hmm. But in that episode, when we flash back to him being the university's security guard, this roughly probably takes place, I don't know, because, yeah, this would have taken place, so he's... So Homer's 16 here, and then Wiggum would have been... So how old was Bart? So this is like another 8 years later?
7 years, yeah.
7 years. So Wiggum was 7 years younger, but still kind of chubby and had pimples.
That's true. So along the way, he like lost a bunch of weight.
Well, because was he just a security guard at the campus, right?
Yeah.
So he's probably chubby then, and then he, you know, had to go to the academy and then probably lost weight there.
That's true.
Okay. But that means when he was in college, he didn't know what donuts were?
Yeah, which is a little weird.
So Homer and Abe pick up the fallen mail when Homer discovers a postcard. It shows a mountain with a stick drawing of a woman. Yeah, the text reads, Utah is not for lovers. Which is funny because I understand that joke, but also they could have gone with a joke of like, it's for Utah is for a man with many lovers. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then on the note on the back says, Homer, I am here, one who loves you. Homer knows exactly what this means. His mother is alive. So Abe there holding the latest issue of Grit magazine wants to know who is alive. But Homer looks at the other side of the postcard that instructs him to keep quiet. But he vows to himself that he will find his mother.
Oh, off in the distance, a black van marked Flowers by Irene watches Homer. And I got to say, at this point in the episode when I was watching it, I was like kind of bummed that they just went with Flowers by Irene, the joke that they did, you know, many moons ago.
I thought that was great, though, because it was a nice callback.
Yeah, it was a callback. But I was like, yeah, that's not very creative. But we'll get there in a moment. The two FBI agents in the van discuss how letting Homer get that postcard will lead them directly to Mona Simpson. Homer's angry at his mother and father for the deception, but still, it's the greatest day of his life, knowing that he still has a mother. Inside, Abe wonders why he got a lifetime subscription to Grit, which is just a scam to sell Grit to other rural suckers. So it's like a pyramid scheme. And then inside the lard lad, Wiggum's shirt button flies off into the air as he consumes another donut and learns that they sell them by the dozen. It's weird how little he knows about donuts.
I hear they're cheaper by the dozen.
If you meet a baker, sure in luck.
All right. Well, the second act finally begins, Steve, as every second act does. It's Seabiscuit and Santa's Little Helper watching Game of Bones, which could also be a porn parody.
Yeah.
It's a recap pops up on TV they're watching that says, who will control the Iron Bone? Sounds like a sex toy. Mm-hmm. In the end, the battle between the Labradors and the Dalmatians will go to an infuriating choice. Bran Stark, a cat. The dogs growl as Snowball 2 enters the room to watch. Even the Game of Bones writers suck at trying to end the series.
That's right. There's probably a Starbucks cup in there too.
Or a Starbarks cup, Steve.
There you go. I mean, Bran Stark, of all the Game of Thrones characters, is the most cat-like.
Yeah.
He just kind of sits there, acting like he knows a lot.
Right.
Licking himself, I assume.
Popping up air balls.
In the next room, the family sits around Homer's phone as his therapy session continues. The online counselor asks Homer how it feels to know that all of his trauma is all his fault. This causes Lisa to pause as they upgrade to a much better therapist who costs $2.99 rather than 99 cents, so three times as much. The new therapist, voiced by Crazy Ex-Girlfriend creator and star Rachel Bloom, asks if Homer was conflicted, and after he tries to use emojis to explain himself, Homer recalls when he confronted his father about what happened to his mom.
Hey, I have a fun trivia thing. Many fans don't know this, but I used to date Rachel Bloom.
Really?
Yeah. She was my ex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She How was she?
She was great, but she broke up with me because I was the crazy one.
Oh, boy.
That joke was dumb.
Did you write songs about it?
Steve, I never watched that show either. Was it good? It was supposed to be good, right?
Yeah. I've seen like maybe half of an episode and I thought it was pleasant.
And she kind of she ended it on her own terms, right? It wasn't just like canceled.
Yeah, no. I think that she probably has like a very big career ahead of her too.
Yeah, she was just like, I told the story. I'm good.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, I was joking. I never dated Rachel Bloom. That was a joke. You see how jokes work, Steve?
I see how they work in theory, yes.
All right. Well, we jump back to when Homer was 16. Abe is eating Lonely Man chili for when no one cares if you fart and drinking some vodka. You know what's going to happen soon, Steve. He's going to probably pour that vodka in his chili.
Yeah.
Behind him, we have parenting books, though, which is fine because it's What to Expect When You're Expecting Nothing, Motor Trends, How to Parent Issue, and How to Yell So Kids Will Listen. That's a good one. Homer demands some truth from his old father, Grandpa there.
You told me Mom was dead. She is. Why wasn't there a funeral?
There was too much going on. My wife just died, for God's sake.
Dad, there's something you're not telling me about Mom.
Well, son, when a man and a woman love each other very much, they want to make a baby that is immediately a source of huge conflict. Not that. Where is she? Well, the truth is, I don't exactly know what happened to your mother. She's alive and wanted by the FBI for some radical hippie nonsense. When she set out of sight, she wasn't kidding around.
Why did you lie?
To protect you.
Protect me from what?
To protect you from a woman who didn't love me enough. Oh my God, I wasn't protecting you. I was protecting me from the shame of a wife who left because I never gave her what she wanted most, which was to leave me. And as TV shows have shown us again and again, that moment of self-realization is all it takes to cure my alcoholism. Yippee! God bless you, son. You and I have each other, and that's all we'll ever need.
I was kind of hoping when A was pouring out the vodka,
mm-hmm.
for some reason I was hoping like Barney was down there for some reason.
Yeah.
Thanks! I don't know.
I like to imagine that the cat.
But the cat's good, yes.
Yeah, like I imagine that the cat had its mouth open and was getting really drunk. And then the bottle fell on it. That's why it went, yeah.
That's a fun scene, though. The like that line of like, I never gave her what she really wanted, and that was to leave me.
Abe had a little realization of his own.
Yeah.
And I also like how they kind of gracefully dance around the fact that Abe is an alcoholic, but we never really see it. So we always think about Homer being a drunk.
Yeah, you never.
But he got
right.
it from his dad.
And then, yeah, because in the future episodes, you'd never really see him drinking. So there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
So the two Simpsons men hug and share a loving look, and Homer thinks to himself that this isn't over. And Abe hears Homer's thoughts, and their sweet moment is over. Homer tried everything to deal with his grief. First, he visited a guidance counselor, J. Lauren Pryor, who encouraged Homer to join the army, who are always looking for you angry, messed up young men. Mm-hmm. Like how there's a calendar in the back or a poster that says, join the army, no more wars until 1991.
Yeah.
You know, they're always need gas pumpers, still in Oregon and New Jersey, for sure.
That's true, because we don't know how to pump our own gas here.
No.
And I don't know why that's controversial, but people get upset when they can't. You also had the hang in there kitty.
Yeah.
And the cat was probably still alive at the time.
Had to have been.
Presumably, yeah.
So the next he goes to the grand opening of the First Church of Springfield, where the first 100 parishioners got a football phone.
That's Woo!
Reverend Lovejoy sporting a porn stash there. Maybe a cowboy stash.
Maybe a cowboy porn stash.
Yeah. Asks Homer if he's considered switching to another religion to relieve his pain.
I like it when Lovejoy's a bad priest. Yeah. Homer then tells of an evening when he came home to make a decision. In his teenage bedroom, Homer wonders why his mom is in Utah. Every kid there already has more moms than they need. Behind him is a poster for the Kiss Army that reads, "Surrender to Crap." I thought it's funny.
Yeah, it's good.
Homer regrets never giving Mona the number one mom statue he bought for her. And who knows what her ranking is now. Homer is going to find his mother. I like the fact that Homer thinks that there's a chart yeah. of motherhood and that she's knocked down a few pegs. One, because she went missing, but also newer, better mothers have probably come along.
So she has like number 8,422 mom.
Right.
I remember when I was a kid and I didn't know who Kiss was. I'm talking like maybe like 7 years old, but I just remember seeing pictures of them mm-hmm. and thinking like, oh, they must be like hardcore scary metal music or something.
The heaviest music you can imagine.
Yeah. And that wasn't until like maybe like middle school or I don't know, like, you know, party all night, or I want to rock all night and party every day. Like hearing that song, I didn't know that was Kiss as a kid. And I'm like, oh, that's Kiss.
Yeah.
This band is so like not hard.
And that's probably like one of their harder rocking songs yeah. too.
Never a Kiss fan.
Me neither.
We didn't grow. We've talked about before that if we got to choose any decade to be a teenager, we would have been teenagers in the 70s.
Yeah.
Do you think our teenager selves as teenagers in the 70s would have been Kiss fans?
I don't think so. I think that, I mean, we probably would have been more open-minded to them, but they're just kind of goofy to me and not in like a fun way.
I mean, I should like him because, you know, I mean, they're like a comic book come to life.
Yeah.
I probably would have liked them, but I also probably been like, they're metal. Man, metal.
I do have a coworker who is very much. Yes. He always tries to take my money. He's a jerk.
Yeah.
But my coworker really likes Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga, Judas Priest, and Kiss.
So
and
me. But
yeah, exactly. So what I'm saying is maybe Kiss is for you.
I think you're right. All right. Well, I would go down to the Kiss Army, recruit myself to the Kiss Army. Yeah.
You can be the kitty cat.
Is that Paul Stanley?
I think so.
All right. He seems fine.
Yeah. So the next morning, Homer quietly opens the garage door to reveal his father's classic Studebaker Starliner Commander. He hops in the classic automobile and laughs to himself. But before he can get that far, there's a rustling in the back seat.
Where the hell do you think you're going? Oh, man, Simpson, I'm here to stop you, son. You remember your mom is a perfect woman, but I hate to say this. She wasn't perfect. She hogged a blanket something awful. She had a hard-to-remember birthday. Please, Dad, I need to know what happened to her. Oh, I can't say no to that face. I think everything's gonna be better from now on. Just drive.
I love how Homer refers to his dad as Old Man Simpson.
Yeah.
His line of she had a hard to remember birthday.
Yeah. Her biggest sins are she was a blanket hog and was born at a day that you can't remember easily.
What would be a hard to remember birthday? Thinking like June.
Yeah.
26th.
Like, yeah. July 17th.
Yeah.
Because like right. I have relatives like in May and June. Like I think one of my brothers is May 8th. My mom is May 17th. My other brother is May 23rd. And those are kind of not memorable dates.
Yeah, like May and June.
Yeah,
just kind of like go to like April, May, and June maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Because April showers bring May flowers. June sun brings August buns.
Yes, May flower brings white power.
Oh Jesus.
And yeah, June
and
June is when you eat prunes.
And September is when lead singer of Green Day, Billy Joe, is asleep.
Exactly.
We have to wake him up and say, come on, it's October, Billy.
Hey, Billy Joe, buy an alarm clock.
Yes, silly. It's about his dad dead. Dad dead. And it's also about dad or dead parents.
Dead parents.
Welcome to the Dead Parents Society Club.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Craig. With me, as always, is
Steve. My parents are dead.
Me too. Oh. All right. Well, let's just get back to The Simpsons, Steve.
Right.
They hit the road, but behind them is the FBI band, but now it says Festive Balloons Incorporated. I guess every time they get to the van there, the FBI changes.
Yeah, I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. So Homer's narration continues as he tells of driving through the Badlands of Utah. And on a cliff, we see the Space Coyote from the Insanity Chili Pepper episode, voiced by Johnny Cash.
Mm-hmm.
Homer and Abe take this opportunity to learn more about each other. So Abe asks him questions and he learns that Homer is right-handed and asks if he likes TVs or books, and Homer likes TV. And that's the only two questions that he really needs to know. So they decide to go get something to eat. And after checking in at, I love this sign gag, Latter Days Inn, as a Latter-day Saints, you see, Mormon. Homer and Abe stop by the adjoining diner, which offers coffee, a sign of 50 cents for non-Mormons. And if you are Mormon, you can go to hell.
Can I help you, boys?
I'm looking for my ex-wife.
Aw, well, when was the last time you saw her?
7 years ago.
Trust me, it's over.
Just tell me if you've seen her.
I seen a runaway rose like her working a gas and go near the slot canyons. Who wants to know?
Let's just say a man who's had his heart broken and a boy whose closest thing to a mother was the lady on a bottle of maple syrup.
I see. You look lonely, cowboy.
Well, only if you consider lonely being without companionship of any kind for 2,600 days.
Well, some of us get pretty lonesome, too, when the night comes and your double wide seems double empty. Hint, hint.
Oh, I hear you, but I got the boy with me, so we'll skip the first date that starts awkward but ends with potential, the second date where we hit it off, the third date where you find out beneath my crusty exterior is some sweet apple pie, and skip right to the part where we break up because I gotta take my son to his mother.
Aw, oh, we had some good times, didn't we?
Yeah, we sure did.
That's a fun little run of the relationship and how it'll go.
Yeah, I thought that was very sweet. And how Abe almost got some.
No, I felt bad for him. Like, yeah, she's not bad looking. Abe hit that.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Cora.
Cora.
Is that her name?
That's her name. And he's got a double wide trailer.
That's what she calls it.
So yet again, Homer and Abe drive off. And yet again, a black FBI van falls close behind. This one is marked Falafels Baked Instantly. A lot of fun. Homer and Abe take a moment to sit on the hood of the car and enjoy the scenery. Abe watches the clouds as they take the shape of his lost love, Mona, and then a heart split in two. Abe takes a swig from his flask, and Homer confronts his father, saying that he thought that he'd stop drinking. Abe explains that he stopped drinking only at night, which is very responsible. And then he goes on to say that he feels a pang of remorse. He looks at the reflection in his flask and sees that old withered face that will be his future. He throws the flask into the distance and Homer hugs his dad. And then a rattlesnake finds the flask and laps it up and spits out a whole mouse that he just ate.
Oh, the mouse gets to live another day.
That's right. And he's probably a little drunk too.
Oh, I'm the only mouse I can get drunk here.
Oh.
All right, so night falls and the desert provides a beautiful backdrop. Homer counts the stars in the sky, reaching 9,096. That's funny. And Abe points out one star he might have missed, so he starts from scratch. That's a fun joke. I don't know why I liked it.
Yeah, it's cute.
Abe admires the peaceful sky and recalls another night.
I'm going to tell you a war story, son. A story of patriotism, sacrifice, and sexy ladies drawn on planes. I was trapped in a foxhole with my best friend, Charlie.
Abe, I got a funny feeling. I ain't gonna make it.
That's crazy talk. Did you always not have a bottom half?
I just got one request. Tied to my dog tags is a picture of my gal, Clara. Take him to her. Tell her I used up my last breath saying her name, Clara.
Ooh. Uh-oh. Let that be a lesson to you, boy. Don't procrastinate. So it's good we're looking for your ma, and I'm passing these dog tags along to you. It's your job now, son. Boy, somewhere there's a 100-year-old woman waiting for you.
We Simpson men won't let her down.
When he's flashback into World War II and, you know, the whole tags with Claire. The comedic music, this part.
Ooh. Uh-oh.
The bloom.
Uh-oh.
It's such like a you know, a Looney Tunes, like, whoopsie daisy.
Oh, yeah.
Music cue. It's like, oh, Clara never knows about her dead husband. So sad. So funny, though.
Yeah, it's a fun use of the trope, too, of, like, you know, the passing it on and making it about yourself and all that. I thought it was really good. And also to do a flashback inside of a flashback is pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah, it's like Inception.
Yeah.
Hey, so some of those ladies drawn on the planes, we had Bombshell Betty.
Death by Dorothy.
Katie Kaboom.
Homer then apologizes to his therapist about digressing, but she explains that digressions can help one discover truth about themselves. Abe then goes off on a tangent about how shoes didn't always have tongues, but the therapist stops him right there. She asks Homer if closing in on his mother brought up many fears, and Homer wondered if his mother loved him as much as she did when she left him forever.
Forever, Steve.
Forever.
At a Texon gas station deep in the Utah hills, Mona hides a wanted poster with her mugshot and gets to work providing customer service to a mother and her son.
How old is your boy?
16.
Oh, I thought so. I always cry at any boy between 12 and 20. I have a son that age. Haven't seen him in years. It's heartbreaking. I don't know if I'll ever... Oh, there he is. Can that really be my little Homer? Oh, it's him!
Mom? Such a beautiful voice!
FBI. How did she spot us?
Steve, do you like to pay attention to 12-year-old to 20-year-old boys?
They always make me cry.
Yeah.
But not out of my face.
Jesus. The FBI bit at the end was fun. How did she know?
Yeah. Surrounded by cowboys and they're in nice black suits.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know why, but the bad audio or like the bad PA system always makes me laugh. It just...
It was good. Also, it's a funny scary guy. Sounding.
I know.
I just like that whole, like, I haven't seen my boy. Oh, there he is.
I do also have to say that I watched this, not live, but when I got home from work late last night, and I was not paying attention initially. And I looked down and was like, why is Mona wearing a Minnesota Twins shirt?
It kind of looks like it, yeah.
Because, yeah, the Texon logo looks kind of like the Twin Cities. So Homer steps into the gas station just as Mona exits through the back door. She runs towards the canyons, which are below the Slot Canyon Slot Casino, home of the loosest slots in the canyon. Homer and Abe are close behind Mona. Homer figures that if he can find his mother, they'll be a family again, with all the yelling, the resentment, and the slamming doors. It'll be wonderful.
Yeah, so Homer's pursuit is stopped when his father cries out behind him. Abe is stuck, and he tells Homer to keep going, and Homer watches as Mona keeps running away. Abe instructs his son that if he doesn't go soon, he'll lose his mother forever. And the FBI agents get closer, and Homer makes a tough decision. Abe didn't leave him, so he's going to stay for Abe. His father there is touched for a moment.
You came back for me. Yes. I love you, Dad. I love you too, boy. But that was a dumb choice you just made.
FBI, official business. Sir, put your son down and kick him in front of you.
Never! What the? Watch it. That part ain't for grabbing. I thought you guys were untouchable. Get off me. Help, police!
Where are you going, lady?
Anywhere you are.
To San Francisco. Till it gentrifies.
You ever think of all the violent criminals going free while we were chasing after this one woman?
That's why I don't read the papers.
Smart.
We never found Mona. You know, I just realized I could have found her, waited, then gone back for you and I would have had everything.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda, loser.
Steve, when did San Francisco gentrify for you?
Oh, geez. It's gotta be, you know, 86, 87.
Yep. When those damn Tanners moved in.
That's right.
I love, I don't know if this was a call, not callback, but reference to the Arthur meme when the FBI agent closes his fist at the side.
Oh, yeah.
You think that was an Arthur, you know, the cartoon Arthur. That's what we're referencing. There's like a meme out there where it shows Arthur, that aardvark's face, and then he just squeezes his hand, like a close-up of his hand, and squeezes it. So I don't know if that was a reference.
It could be. But yeah, that hippie should have really realized that he's going to be the one to do the gentrification because he's going to grow up and become a tech bro and be a dick.
I do like Bart's, woulda, coulda, shoulda, loser.
Yeah.
So the council hears Bart's remarks and offers a list of pacifying drugs such as...
Lunesta.
Focus on.
Which I think he was on before. Sleep it off.
All right. Knock me out.
Quick time.
What?
Quiet time, rather.
Yeah. That crappy movie app on your computer.
On your Apple. Windows 96.
Yeah. Snooze it.
Insta nap lullaby.
No fight, night.
I got to say, all these sound delightful.
I want, Yeah, the knock me out. Just give me that.
Yeah, the snooze it'll take.
Yeah.
So the final act of our episode features the Simpsons sitting in the living room in the present day, consoling Homer and empathizing with his grief. The therapist discusses the misery Homer must have felt as a counterwarns of an impending Toyota ad in about 3 minutes. Homer agrees, saying it was misery on top of misery.
Then we watch as bullies mock teenage Homer. He gets bombarded with dodgeballs. Bombardment. Food gets thrown at him and about everyone in the cafeteria, including lunch lady Doris. Mm-hmm. But then, in detention, he met the love of his life.
And that's how I met your mother. Aww. Who turned everything around.
That is fantastic. And since you know that she'll always be there, you don't have to be afraid of abandonment.
You're right. What a great therapist. Delete app.
Wait, what?
I warned you about solving people's problems.
He was so simple. I just couldn't stretch it out.
You're fired. Put that coffee down.
You have major hostility and control issues.
Bye-bye. But there's a little more to this story. Something I've never told anyone. It happened when Bart was born.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We see a flashback once more, this time in the delivery room. We get Dr. Hibbert there sporting his Mr. T-style mohawk and a facial hair. And he offers the umbilical cord for Homer to cut. Did you almost for an instant, like, you thought the secret was that Homer accidentally cut Bart's dick off?
Yes.
I thought that was going to be what happens. but no. Homer finds the cord to be too tough to snip with the scissors, so he begins to, it's the origin of strangling Bart. No, he needs to strangle Bart's cord first, so he starts strangling the umbilical cord, and then just rips it in half, just in time for the camera to capture that memory. As Marge holds the newborn child, Homer turns up the morphine, because it's free.
Yeah.
Homer looks down to see little Bart shaking his ass at his father. He's mooning him! Homer briskly states that everything he needs is in that room. Then suddenly the door opens and a doctor with a pretty silly disguise steps in.
I'm the pediatrician. Just want to take a look at your boy. So beautiful.
Really? Don't you see a lot of these?
Not one that's my grandson.
Mom?
When I heard about the baby, I just had to come and see him. But I can't stay. Just know, I'm always with you in here.
I guess that'll have to do.
I even miss you sometimes.
Wait, doctor! Let's talk!
Was it a dream? There's no way I'll ever know.
It wasn't a dream! I was there!
There's no reliable way I'll ever know.
Either way, Dad, it's wonderful.
You have found closure! Closure! Disclaimer, closure is no longer considered a valid psychological construct. Closure!
Was it implying that when Mona kissed Grandpa, did he think that, he's like, we need to talk. Was he thinking like, maybe he's into dudes?
Yeah, there's another doctor that he kissed.
That's funny.
Yeah. Also, just for any parents out there, I would suggest don't dress up like a doctor to go see the little boys. That's probably not a good idea.
Yeah, seems problematic.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the kids hug Homer and he shouts that this is the best Mother's Day ever. Then Santa's little helper brings a dead blueberry to his mother and who swallows it whole, causing the whole family to go, aw. And then Homer then amends his statement about being the best Mother's Day by adding that he's taking Marge to the finest restaurant in town, which I'm assuming will be the Gilded Truffle, where he actually made reservations. So, you know, Homer was already on board with this.
Yeah, he's doing good.
Marge then agrees that this is the best Mother's Day ever so far.
So then at the restaurant, Marge, surrounded by family, says that she has everything that she needs in the room. Homer's then yelled at by the squeaky voice teen who says to get out of the kitchen because it's not a buffet. The restaurant is then forced to change their sign from brunch to impending vacancy, fixtures for sale.
As Homer eats all the food.
That's right.
Homer's then flipping through the TV there of Muttflix. And we get more shows. So we got Apocalypse Chow.
A Bug's Death.
Possible Walk.
Bacon, Bacon, Bacon.
Mud Puddle.
When the Leash Comes Off.
I Love Lassie.
Playboy After Bark.
Rolling in It.
Hail Hydrant.
Dropped Food.
Whatever it is, eat it.
And World's Saddest Cats. which is just like the imagery is hilarious too, because it's like the Andrew Lloyd Webber Cats costume.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just literally the Cats movie,
which is very sad because they took out all the buttholes.
Yeah.
So Homer and Santa's little helper watch drop food with both of the creatures drooling as they watch that turkey fall to the ground. Homer requests that they have dinner on the floor, but Marge won't have it. And then in a post-credit scene, I think is an homage to Fellini's 8.5 or 9, I don't know. Homer holds his beloved photographs as he drifts off to sleep in his dream. And so he dreams of himself as a child playing a flute. And then versions of Homer from all of history as gladiators and Vikings and whatnot step down the staircase from heaven and walk in a circle. They're being directed by Homer, who joins the circle with Marge. The dream continues, and we pan out to see Homer asleep, sucking on a bottle of maple syrup. And that's our episode.
Yeah, there was a callback to maple syrup, because Abe said that the maple syrup was his mother for the longest time. So he was sucking on Aunt Jemima there, which is obviously this was filmed before they banned the bottle.
Right. Because now it's like just farmland or something. Yeah.
I like how there's that scene in the Fellini's 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
Is he talking about his dick?
Yeah.
More like Flo-weenie. All right. But I like how there's like season one Homer, like trying to join the circle, and Patty and Selma kicks him off.
No.
Yeah. All right, Steve. Fun stuff. Hey, why don't we take a break and then come back and just give our final thoughts?
Sounds great. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back, Steve. Let's finish up this episode of The Simpsons, Mothers and Other Strangers. We'll do our final thoughts. But before we do the final thoughts, we'll discuss our favorite jokes, maybe an MVJ, and talk about what from this episode would be great branded on a shirt or a tattoo or an enamel pin. That's how we like to start this off.
Mm-hmm.
Steve, what do you want to buy from this episode?
Oh, boy. So obviously we could do any number of the TV shows that are on Netflix. We talked about doing the Mama's Boy shirt, which is very good, and I like that a lot. But I think I'm going to go a little different, and I'm going to go with, I want a collection of FBI t-shirts that are kind of like the Federal Breast Inspector, but the classic Flowers by Irene, Fluffle, Baked Instantly. Yeah, those are fun. I think those are great.
Yeah, I like the FBI ones. I thought of that. But I'm surprised this is the one you weren't going to do, was when they're in the restaurant in Utah.
The
restaurant is for a coffee. It says non-Mormons, it's 50 cents, but for Mormons, it's go to hell.
That would be a lot of fun.
That'd be a fun shirt to have. I think the other ones I thought would be fun would be the photo of Homer ripping the Bart's umbilical cord off.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that one. But I don't think I'll go with the coffee menu.
That was good. Yeah, I think so.
Also, yeah, we start talking about the dogs. The Fox News with the actual foxes would be good.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
All right, Steve. So what about your favorite joke from this episode?
Well, the Fox News actually is way up there for me.
Yeah, a lot of those when Bart's watching, or the whole Muttflix type of thing is great. I love Marge's receiving of the mugs, and kind of she just hates everything, or hates all the mugs.
Yeah, and is more impressed by Bart's attempt at a mug rather than Lisa's good or better mug.
Yeah, you know, this episode for joke wise it had so many sign gags too. I mean,
yeah,
not just like the books about parenting in Abe's house, again with the FBI, and also this was a very visual episode. Like, you had to pay attention to watch because there's so many sight gags.
Yeah, and so many callbacks too, like aside from the space coyote, they have the Homer's head, the thinking music, we had the clip from the movie, we had all these like little small things that are references to not even just Mona Simpson, but just the show's history in general.
Very, very well thought out, I think.
Yeah,
it just consumes the entire every frame. Like nothing goes unused. Like there's just a joke in every frame, it seems like.
Yeah, it's a very dense episode.
Yeah, dense, just like the donuts that Wiggum discovers.
Exactly, for the first time ever.
For MBJ, I mean, I think Homer as a character is pretty interesting because it just gives him more of a rounded and not just dumb. Abe's pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's give it to Maggie with her bottle mic drop.
Yeah, she was pretty cocky there. I'm going to give it to Bart.
Oh, yeah. Bart's a little son of a gun in this episode.
Yeah, he's just a little bitch in it, so I liked it.
All right. Well, all in all, what do we think of this episode, this ninth episode of the 33rd season?
Ooh, well, Craig, I think that this episode revisited the Mona storyline very well, and it had like a good amount of heart and emotion without trying too hard, I feel. Like everything felt earnest, and you talked about how layered this was, and that's what really sold it to me, is they were putting on flashbacks upon flashbacks, jumping between time, and it all just flowed really well. And it's kind of funny because in reality, all that happened in the episode was Homer was sad, so he went on an app and he looked at his phone for 20 minutes.
So just like what every American does when they're sad, they just look on their phone.
Exactly. Except for he actually, like, you know, resolves some stuff.
Right.
Rather than just, you know, scroll through TikTok for the 14th time, or like closed Instagram to only open up Instagram again.
Sounds like your day.
Yeah, for example. But I thought that the jokes were fun, and we've mentioned it before, but this season has been so diverse and every episode has been so unique. And I think that this is following that tradition, you know, for Al Jean to write an episode and it have that classic feel of The Simpsons, but still, you know, feel modernist at the same time, I think was really good. So, you know, out of the 9,096 stars that Homer counted, I'm going to give this a hearty 8750.
Yeah. So I know I went on to Reddit after this episode aired just to see what people thought. And it was just, of course, a lot of like, are they recanonizing the, you know, Mother Simpson? Like, how does this, you know, they were kind of annoyed with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, no, I enjoyed it because it didn't really, this doesn't break the canon in the sense that he still didn't really get to connect to his mom. And he, you know, couldn't really 100% sure that was her when they saw her Utah. Because even the gargled microphone, right?
Right.
Can't understand him. The other things that people were complaining about was that Mona was there when Bart was born and how Homer just kind of dismissed that as like a dream. You know, Abe was like, no, I was there. That was happening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it breaks canon too, because the whole like 16-year-old Homer, would he have mentioned it in that episode? But, you know, a lot of times in trauma for kids, especially, they have repressed memories. They'll forget it.
Most definitely.
So I assume just Homer forgot that it was a repressed memory.
Mm-hmm.
It's a painful thing for him to go through. So, yeah, like I said, this episode actually, I think, fits well into the canon. And we haven't really talked about it as how, you know, that's another complaint that Simpsons fans make. It's like, oh, what's the canon now, or continuity? Because, like, shouldn't this been taking place in the 90s? But no, it looks like it's gone back to the 70s, which I appreciate because this episode, I think, was made for old school fans.
Yeah. And
original fans.
I think that the flashbacks, even though they're showing, you know, Mona being, you know, running for the law from her crime in the 60s and Abe fighting World War II, there's a timelessness to the flashbacks where it's not specific. Like they're driving that old car and, you right. know, it's just, to me, it's kind of intentionally left blank so the viewer can kind of decide whatever they want to do.
I think what it does is it fits well in the Mona episode. You know how like fans like to make like fan edits of things. I wonder if there's a way like where you could tell this same story in Mother Simpson, like just kind of like it'd be like a middle act where he just kind of like, I think I kind of like after, you know, he discovers Mona is alive and then you could edit this episode into like the middle of that episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think it works well. I actually recommend this episode to fans of, you know, old, like I said, old school fans, OG fans.
Yeah.
There was joke a minute. Everything was great. Wow. I had a lot of fun with this episode. I was actually laughing out loud in many of the scenes. I think The Simpsons are still killing it this season. If I could say it's my favorite episode of this season, I know there's only been 9, but
yeah,
it's definitely up there. It's at least out of 9. But if I were to rank this out of an actual number, when Mona Simpson is in jail holding up her prison number, the prison number is 14212021. So out of that 14212021, I give this episode a 14008762. And that's what I got.
Alrighty.
All right. Well, Steve, I think we both recommend it. We haven't really found a clunker this season.
No, I mean, this one, I agree, is maybe not my favorite of the season, but still very good, and I would definitely recommend it. So, yeah, I think this has been a solid season.
Yeah, and it's nice to have the so many episodes have been kind of like not old, like classic family telling Simpsons episode. It was nice kind of getting back to the basics, you know. It was a Smithers episode, and the week before was a weird Fargo parody, or last 2 weeks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fun to get back to the basics and getting, you know, Glenn Close again as Mona. So, yeah.
Yeah. It felt like a good standard Simpsons episode.
Yeah.
In the best way possible.
All right, Steve. Well, we're going to find out what we're watching next week. Unfortunately, The Simpsons is off for a couple weeks, so we're going to have to go back to the basics of this podcast, and we're going to have to spin a wheel of random and find out what we're watching next week.
Weird. All righty. Let's bust out that wheel of random, and let's give it a spin to see which season we're in. Ba-doop.
All right, we have season 32.
Season 32. Alrighty, let's give it a spin to see which episode we're watching.
Episode 8.
Season 32, episode 8. Why, that's Road to Cincinnati. What happens, Craig?
Odd couple Skinner and Chalmers embark on an 800-mile car ride to the city of Cincinnati to attend a administrator's convention.
It's funny that we're watching season 33, episode 9 this week.
Yeah.
And you just go back one and it's 32, episode 8 next week.
And you know what's fun? The original air date was November 29th, 2020. Steve, Whoa. We're recording this podcast on November 29th, 2021. So this was literally aired 1 year to this day.
Freaky, man.
Did you happen to watch this episode when last year? This time, literally right now?
I think I did, actually, at the request of friend of show, Timothy.
Yeah.
Speaking of Timothy's.
I remember the hype. I remember the promotion around this was like, the Simpsons aren't really in it. It's going to be Skinner and Chalmers episode. So, yeah, kind of fun to do not a Simpsons story.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll pop up, though.
Oh, those crazy Simpsons.
It's in their contracts, Steve.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah. Looking forward to season 32 is on Disney Plus, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, I'll enjoy watching that. But in the meantime, Steve, I want people to go talk to us on social media like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at 138Simpsons.
You can always email us at 138Simpsons@gmail.com. And you can go to your favorite podcasting app and leave us 5 stars. And a review, but it doesn't need to be a real review. You can just write whether you're left-handed or right-handed, whether you like books or TV, and what your repressed trauma is.
All right, for this week, I've been Annoyed Grunt Boy Craig.
And I've been Annoyed Grunt Boy Steve.
And remember, I warned you about solving people's problems.
That part ain't for grabbing.